The Eddie B. Sit edition and audio series of the Talmud Bavli.
Gemara Moed Katan, Daf Yud Aleph. Today's daf has been dedicated by the Shehebar family in memory of their father and grandfather Gavriel ben Zakiyeh. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Avraham ben Esther. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Today's daf is being studied Le'ilu Nishmat Eliyahu ben Gladys, Mr. Eli Shama, Alav Shalom, and his untimely passing. Ruach Hashem Tanihenu Began Eden. Amen. Mr. Shama was a very respected man in the community, a man that was involved in many tzedakot, bitzina'ah, and was from the products of Yerushalayim, and was a member of the community in New York for many years, and was loved by all, especially the Talmidei Chachamim. Be'ezrat Hashem, this week's daf will be studied Le'ilu Nishmato. Yehi Zichro Baruch. Amen. We begin today's daf on Yud Aleph Amud Rishon, and we start on the third line. We continue to discuss different items that are permissible or forbidden for whatever reason on Chol HaMoed. So the Gemara begins, Rav Shara Lihya Bar Asher. Rav allowed, permitted, Tihya Bar Asher Limigdal Uhare Buhola de Mu'ada. What is Uhare? Top Rashi, top line. Shitzadin Bodagin. Which means he made, let him make a fish trap on Chol HaMoed. My ta'ama, what's the reason? Ma'aseh idiotu. Because to make a fish trap, you do not have to do it in a professional manner. It's able to be done in an amateuristic fashion. Therefore we know on Chol HaMoed, ma'aseh idiot is permissible. Aval izle asur. However, when it came to that, she says, Rishtot shesadin bo'ofot, when it came to a trap to catch the birds, so then already, he said it's asur. My ta'ama, ma'aseh umanhu, because that already takes professional work to make it, and that type of work is asur on Chol HaMoed. Rav Yehuda, shara le'ami tanura, he permitted to Ami Tanura, that's what they called him. Seems Ami Tanura was the oven maker. So they nicknamed him Ami Tanura. He allowed him, Limigdal Tanure, to build, as she says, La'asota Tanun Mahadash, to actually construct a new oven. So the Gemara says, Ulrav Bar Asbi Limigdal Mahulta. And he allowed Rav Bar Asbi to make from scratch a mahulta, a napa. Napa is a sifter. So the Gemara says, "Ini, we have a contradiction. Ve'atane Rabba Bar Shmuel. We have a bright that it says Veshavin. Everybody agrees. She'en Godlin Tanur Lechatehila, that you're not allowed to build an oven from scratch. So how could you tell me that Rabbi Yehuda allowed Ami Tanura to make the oven from scratch when it's against a clear braita?" So Gemara says, La kasha, no question. Kan bimot hama, kan bimot geshamim. It depends when it was talking. There's bimot hama, which is the spring summer time, which is the time of Pesach. Over there, it's dry and it's hot outside as well, and therefore it's permissible to make the oven on Chol HaMoed, because the oven obviously was made out of, let's say, a cement or something like that that needed time to dry. And therefore, since it's the dry season, you'll be able to use it on the holiday. And therefore, it's considered Sorech Moed, because by the end of the holiday, it'll dry. So that's what Avi Yehuda was talking about. Pesach Chol HaMoed, he allowed to do it. However, the other opinion of the Braita that said it's Asur was talking about Chol HaMoed Sukkot, which is the rainy season. And therefore, if you're going to make it on Chol HaMoed, you're not going to have a chance for it to dry yet. So you're doing something on Chol HaMoed for after Chol HaMoed, that's going to be Asur. And that's the way we reconcile. Now, regarding this subject, that she says, Bimotahamam, the second line, Kilomar, Kishiyesh, Yimotahamah, Kegon, Pesach, Dehabun Alma. Right? It's hot in the world. She'en yurdin bo geshamim, mutal la'asot bo tanur, defi, she'le'altar yavesh. It dries immediately. V'yichudin le'efot bo pat, beregel, esorech ha'regel. We're able to use it for the regel. V'kan, Bimotah geshamim, Kilomar, כשיורדין הגשמים ברגל, כגון בסוכות, אין עושים תנור, לפי שאינו יבש לאלתן, עד לאחר הרגל, ועביד תרחה שלא לצורך הרגל. So you're doing a תרחה, not for the purpose of the רגל. Comes the next Mishnah. And the Mishnah says, עושים מעקה לגג ולמרפסת, מעשה הדיוט, אבל לא מעשה אומן. It is permissible to make a מעקה. English they interpret as a parapet, which is a fence of protection. Okay, you're allowed to make that on the roof. Sakana, to have a roof that is without a ma'akeh, but many people could fall off. So you can actually build the ma'akeh on Chol HaMoed, however, in a ma'aseh hidyot, in an unprofessional manner. And we'll see exactly what that means. Furthermore, the marpeset. What is the marpeset? Marpeset is the second floor balcony. The person that lives on the second floor is the balcony that comes out. Also, it's permissible to build this ma'akeh. Aval lo ma'aseh uman. But you cannot build it in a professional manner. Rashi, ma'akeh lemarpeset, kotel ketana, ha'osin ala etztabaot shlefne ha'aliyot gedolot, ke'en shesh al sfat nahar rainos. Then she says that, what's a marpeset? So marpeset is like a little wall that juts out of the aliyot, the second floor. So that she says that this marpeset is the wall that juts out above the second floor. He says, just like they have by the banks of the Rhines, the river Rhines. Comes the Gebaran Kid Mishnah continues, Shafin et ha-sedakin, which means the oven sometimes might have cracks in it. So it's permissible on Chol HaMoed to smoothen out the cracks. Umagilin otam bimagila. And you're allowed to use what's called a ma'gila. That's a type of apparatus that's round. And you use it, it's made out of wood, and you use it to smoothen out the oven. Rashi says, Shigolelin al karka'it tanur. You roll, it's a roller actually, you roll it on the base of the oven. Etz gadol agul kedin listom ha-tzedakim. Again, in order to close up the tzedakim, the cracks. Biyad uberegil. And for that matter, you're able to use your hand to do it, or regel, person's foot. He wants to, you know, rub his foot on the bottom of the oven in order to close up the cracks. So basically, you can do anything you want in closing the cracks, except the Mishnah says, aval lo bimilhatsayim. But not with the use of milhatsayim. What is that? As she says, it's a type of wood that's fashioned in the shape of a foot of a person, and you stick it in the oven where it's has the maziba, where it has like the tar, in order to seal up. The reason why you can't use this melhatsayim, as she says, yesh bo ma'ase uman yoter me'magila. It's more professional than a roller, so therefore the melhatsayim is going to be asud. Hatsir v'hatsinor v'hakora v'hamman'ul v'hammaftayah shenishberu metakenan b'moed. So let's explain each one of these items. You have the tsir, which literally they explain it as the pivot. The tsinor would be the socket. Kora is the lintel. And man'ul is the lock. And maftayah is the key. Basically, these are all the areas of a person's door. The lintel is the top, is the doorpost on top. The lock, we know what it is. The key, we know what it is. On the floor, they would have a pivot, which is like the hinge over there, and would go into a hole in the ground in order for the door to swing. So therefore, all these items, since they're related to the door, if they break on Chol HaMoed, it is going to be a hefsid. Because Chas v'Shalom Gannavim now can come in. So therefore the halakha says, where there's going to be a hefsed, there's going to be financial loss, it is permissible to repair it. It says you could fix it b'mu'ed. So long as you don't prepare to do the work on Chol HaMoed from before. Which means, if it happened on Chol HaMoed, certainly you could fix it. Now Mishnah is telling us that you could fix it in the normal fashion. It's not requiring us to do any type of shinui. We're going to see in the Gemara that this Mishnah must be following the opinion of Rabbi Yosef. The Rabbi Yosef holds that whenever you're doing something that's davara aved on Chol HaMoed, you can do it even without a shinui, like we learned on yesterday's daf. So therefore, Mishnah obviously is following Shitat Rabbi Yosef. V'chol kevashim shehu yachol le'echol men b'moed kovshan. Which means any type of pickled foods that you're able to eat from them on Chol HaMoed, which means the pickling will make them edible to eat on Chol HaMoed, so you can pickle these items on Chol HaMoed, which means it's considered Tzorek HaMoed. You'll be able to eat from them. Now let's read Rashi to catch up on the Rashi here. Tzir rege ladelet. Okay, that's the base of the door. Kemo adelet tisov al sira. It's called the pivot. That's where the door is able to turn. It's on the ground. Tzinor hu achor shebaskupa. Tzinor is the hole that's in the threshold of the door. Hatachtona kemo tzinor adidasha. Hakora, they call it a lintel. Mashe'ala petach. That's above the door. Shetachzor bo adelet. That's where the door, you know, returns and goes through. Min'al. Well, min'al, we explained it as the lock. ובלבד שלו יתכוון לעשות מלאכתו במועד, כשיש לו לתקן כל אלו בשאר ימות השנה ומניחו עד המועד. But if it has to be fixed during the other times of the year, don't push it off until the מועד. וכבשים של ציר, כלומר דגים ושאר דברים שכובשים במלח. These are actually talking about, for example, fish and different items that they would salt or they would pickle it in their salt. שיאכול לכולם במועד, שלא יהיה צורך להמתין באכילתו עד אחר המועד, שהוא נכבשים מהר. שזה אותו מר items that they pickle very quickly, ורואים לכל מיד. And they're going to be edible immediately, so it's מותר. Otherwise, what are you pickling for? For after אחר המועד, that's already not צורך המועד.
Not.
Huh?
Why would you think not?
Why would you think not? Which means, why would I think it should be permissible, such a thing? So you're going to see the Hiddush in the Gemara. The Gemara is going to tell us what the Hiddush is over there. Comes the Gemara and begins, Hechi dame ma'aseh idiot. So you told me you're allowed to make a ma'akeh around your roof or your marpeset, but you can only do it in a non-professional manner. Now, what's considered ma'aseh idiot? Rabbi Yosef Amar, Behutza ve'dafna. Hutza, we explained, is palm branches. And dafna, we explained, is laurel. Those are types of pieces of wood that you place and you fill the gaps with palm branches or palm leaves, and that's hutza. And dafna is the laurel branch, and therefore that's a non-professional way of making the fence. Now we have a braita that says sar bisror ve'enota betit. You make a wall of bricks, of actually stones, and you do not tar them without cement, so that's non-professional. So either way, shafin et asidakim, you're allowed to smoothen out the cracks of the oven, u'magilin otam u'magilan, you can even use a roller to do the job. And then the Mishnah said you can use your hands and you can use your legs as well, feet. So Gemara says, "Hasta b'magila amar chari." You told me you could use a roller, which is actually a keli. Biyadu beregel mebaya. You have to tell me you could use a hand or your feet. That's obvious. That's for sure non-professional. If you can even use a magila kol sheken, you can use yad beregel. So Gemara says, "Achi kamar shafin et asedakin u'magilin otan ke'en magila biyadu beregel, aval lo b'melchatzayim." Which is what the Mishnah is saying. You're allowed to do the function of a roller with your hands and feet, but you can't use a roller. And therefore, the Mishnah wasn't being matir, a roller at all. It was just saying that you could use the you could serve the function that a roller serves through doing it with your hands and feet, but you cannot use a melchatzayim. Rashi says, "Magila derech umanut yoter." That's more of a professional way of doing it. Biyad uberegel elav maase umanu lo kol sheken. That's the Gemara's question. So Gemara says, "Ke'en magila velo magila b'mash ela ke'en magila biyad uberegel." Comes the Mishnah, continues, "Atzir v'atzinor," the pivot and the tzinor is the hole in the threshold. "V'akora the lintel v'amban all the lock." The mafteach teki shenishberu, if they broke on Chol HaMoed betakenan b'moed. Urmini, we have a contradiction. Ad yamav, until the time of Yohanan Kohen Gadol, haya patish makeh birushalayim. which means they used to have the hammers banging in Yerushalayim, which was on Chol HaMoed, before Yohanan Kohen Gadol came along, was mutar, for example, in this case, to bang the locks, to fix them, no problem. So the Gemara says, Ad Yamav In. Smash until Yohanan Kohen Gadol was permissible. Mikan Ve'ilach. No. But smash after his time, he got up and made a takana that no more hammers banging in Yerushalayim on Chol HaMoed. Let's read Rashi. Ad Yamav Shel Yohanan Kohen Gadol. Haya Patish Makeh Yerushalayim Becholos Shel Moed. Vehu Gazar Alav Ubetelo. And he made a decree, Yohanan Kohen Gadol, and eliminated that practice. Alma Asur. So you see, it's Asur. Matniti Ketarim Metakirim Manol Maftaya. How can the Mishnah say you can fix the lock? Obviously, you need a hammer to fix it. So, and why did Yohanan obviously stop the practice? Because it wasn't Kavod Chol HaMoed, the banging of hammers on Yom Tov Chol HaMoed. But how come the Mishnah says it's permissible? So the Gemara says, La Kashya. There's no question. Kan b'din afcheh, kan b'din nagveh. It depends what type of lock we're talking about. Which means, Rashi says, b'din afcheh, the patish, ainu kurnas asur. If you're using a metal hammer that makes noise, so that's asur. Davi kala rabba, that's a loud noise. The ulede kala asur. To make a loud noise on a wed is going to be asur. Vekam b'din nagre. But the nagre is made out of wood. The pallet itself that you're banging with. So one is talking about it's metal. So the metal makes noise. But the nagre is wood. And therefore it doesn't make so much noise. So therefore the Mishnah must be talking about we're using the wooden one. Therefore it's not so loud. Therefore it's permissible. Oh, Yohanan Kohen Gadol. He was all said only the loud ones, which is the nafhe. So comes the Gemara and says, Matkif la nafhezda. Yomru kala rabba asir kala zutar shadeh. Could that be possible? What are the people going to say? A loud sound is asur and a soft sound is mutar. What's the question of the Gemara? Gemara is saying it doesn't make sense that the hakamim would make a takana on something that's so fine. What's the a loud sound or a soft sound? How do you define that? What's a loud sound? What's a soft sound? It doesn't make sense that there'd be such a difference, a disparity between the two takanot. Ela ma'alef chazda la kashya. Ha b'magle, ha b'hatzine. So the Gemara says, yes, the difference is not between a loud sound or a low sound. The difference between yes sound and no sound. Which means, b'magle, as she says, meser agadol. That's a type of saw that they would use. De lo molid kala klum. It doesn't make any sound at all. B'hatzine, that would be a type of, what do they call that? That would be a hatsineh. The way he calls it is an axe which produces noise. So therefore, our Mishnah, that was matir, that was talking about dafka, using what? You're using the magle. You're using the large saw that doesn't make noise. That's why it's permissible to fix the locks with that. Yohanan, Kohen Gadol's takana. That was about the axe. So it's the difference between yes sound and no sound. That's one answer to this question. Gemara says, the papa amar. The papa gives a different answer. Simple answer. Kan kodim gezera, kan lehad gezera. Very simple, which means the Mishnah that was matin, it was before the takana of Yohanan Kohen Gadol. After Yohanan Kohen Gadol came along and said, you're right, everything's asur, you can't make any banging in Yerushalayim, and therefore it became asur. Rav Asher gives a third answer to this question. Amar. Har Biyuda, Har Biyoseh, which means our Mishnah is following the Shita of Rabbi Yosef. That says what? That when you have Davara Aved, where there's a financial loss, like in this case where the guy's lock broke, where there's a sakana, there's Gadnavim going to come in and clean him out. So that is Rabbi Yosef. It says you don't need a Shinui. You can do the Melaka on Chol HaMoed. And according to Rabbi Yosef, he doesn't hold that there was any Gezerah of Yohanan Kohen Gadol on this case. It wasn't a Gezerah. He argues. No such thing happened. Who's the opinion that says Yohanan Kohen Gadol made a takana? That's going to be Yehuda. That's more strict, that does not allow you to make a lock in the normal fashion, even though it's Davar Aved. So we'll say that was Yohanan Kohen Gadol's takana. So it's following Rabbi Yehuda Rashi. Ha, Rabbi Yehuda, ha, Rabbi Yosef, b'firkad al-kaman. Rabbi Yosef, lo ba'il shiyune l'shinuye l'davar Aved. ומתניתין דשארי אחה כל העני בלא שינוי רבי יוסי היא. And how Mishnah that's matir in normal fashion is obviously following רבי יוסי. דאמר רבי יצחק ברבדים היא מנתנה שינוי במועד בדבר העבד. Who's the opinion that says that in the דבר העבד you need a שינוי? You need to do it in a non-usual manner. Delok Rabbi Yosef. It's not Rabbi Yosef. Meaning Rabbi Yosef is the one that holds you don't need a shinui. Aba Ravina, keman madlina naidana kabiyuta de dasha bechola de moada. Says, who do we rely on today? That if the lintel on top of the door, let's say the nails are coming out of it, and you want to pull it down in order to fix it, so who are we lenient today? The madlina, we remove ha'idana today, kabiyuta de dasha, the plank of wood on the dasha, on the threshold or on the top of the doorpost, arhola mu'ed, without a shinui, keman kerebi yoseh. But we were following the biyoseh that says what? That a davar avid, in this case over here, the door is broken. But you don't even need a shinui. Look at Rashi, first wide line. Keman madlina neidana kabiyuta de dasha kishiyotzin masmirim shel etz. When let's say nails, right, come out of the wood minakora shala petach from the lintel that's on the doorpost, deshari lemeibad below shinui. Permissible to do without a shinui? That must be who? Rabbi Yosef. Comes the Gemara continues. Kevashin shu yachol lechub b'moed kovshan. Anything that you salt or pickle that will be prepared to eat on Chol HaMoed be permissible to salt them. So the Gemara says a story. Badita leba'e, which means Badita was the river, Shem Nahad leba'e, that was in a certain place. The Badita river in the place called leba'e, Chavre Azul Kule Alma Sud Aitu Kavra, which means there was fish in that river, and Azul Kul Alma, the whole world went, meaning all the people over there went, Tsud, they trapped all the fish over there, Aitu Chavra, and they brought all the fish back with them. Right, that she says, second line, Chavre, Hachi Asu, Derech Lenahar, which means they made a path that the river, Shiyitzu Mimav, that it'll drain out, by draining out all the water, the fish just stayed in the place. So the Gemara says, Shara lihu Rava. So Rava allowed them, limimlah minayu. He told them, you know what? Go salt all of them. Amale Abaye. So Abaye told them, what do you mean, Rabbi? How could you matit to salt all of them? Ve'atenan kevashim shuyachol leochlam mim b'moed kovshan. Only if you can eat them on Chol HaMoed. And it seems over here, once you put the salt on them, the salt renders them unedible. So therefore, I guess it's a process to take the salt off of them. So he's saying, I understand the ones that you didn't salt, no problem. You can eat them in Chol HaMoed. How could you allow you to salt them? Amar le kevad no ikara data de achila aitinu. Since originally the kavana, your kavana was to bring the fish for eating purposes. That was your kavana. Vishavik leu paste. And now, if you're going to leave the leftover fish and you're not going to salt them, it's going to be a loss. Kefrek matya aved dame b'shari. It's considered like merchandise that we learned. There's going to be a loss to the merchandise, so therefore it's permissible. So again, the basis of his heter was, you took the fish over here, not for storage purposes, originally you caught the fish to eat them. Now you have leftovers. Leftovers, what are you going to do now? You're going to cause them to throw them out? That's if said, in prakmatia. So therefore he was matir. Ve'ika de amre, and another version of the story went like this. Shari le'ura ba mitzad mezal, to go and trap and bring them. Aituye, bring them. Umimlah. Which is, he allowed them originally go bring all the fish and salt them. It's a little different than the first version. The first version was, they brought them already. And then he told them, okay, now you can salt them. Here he told from the beginning, go trap as many fish as you want, and you can salt them, the Kata'ila. Amal Abaye, so Abaye tells him, Ve'anan, we learned that what? Kevashim, Shu Yachol Le'oklam Me'en, Kovshan, Tenan, only if you're able to eat them, once you're allowed to salt them, once you salt them, they're not edible. Amale, Hani Namem Mitachle Agat Itzitza. You can't eat them. Even the salted ones, according to this version, are edible. How? I got mitzvah by pressing them. If you press them, it'll get rid of the salt. And once you get rid of the salt, it's edible. She's the first version held that no, once it's salted, it's not edible. You're not going to get it edible on Chol HaMoed. The second version is like, no, even the ones that are salted can be eaten through the process of itzisa. By pressing them, it seems the salt goes off. Kiad Shmuel, like the story of Shmuel, avdu leshitin itzitze. He pressed the fish 60 times. Of course, that's an exaggeration. And he ate it. Rabba eklal Rebesh Galuta. Rabba once was by the house of the Resh Galut. Avdu leshitin itzitze. Again, they pressed the fish 60 times for him. And he was able to eat it. So you see over here that this would be permissible to go catch all the fish. Again, their intention was to eat it and salt them. The chetahilat was bottom line. All the fish, even in the salted state, have a permissibility to eat them. Okay? Comes the Gemara and continues. Rav ikla lebe Rav Shafir. Rav found himself by the house of Rav Shafir. Aitu le kamayu. So they brought in front of him hahu chavra, a certain type of fish. Tilta bishula. One third of the fish was cooked. Tilta milha. One third was salted. And one third was roasted. Amar Rav, so Rav said, Amali Adda Saida. Adda the trapper. Seems there was a famous fisherman called Adda. So they nicknamed him Adda Saida. He said, Chavra Samuch le Misrehe Ma'ale. That it's healthy to eat fish right before they become spoiled. Obviously not eating spoiled fish, but samuch lemisrehe, before they become spoiled, it's healthy to eat it. As she says, kilomar yafehu, de'achar zeman shenisod yoter ma'us shabtad nitzod. Better than to eat them fresh, right when they're caught. Better to wait a little. That's what he learned. And then he says further, ve'amar li ada sayda, ada the trapper said to me, chavra tavya be'achu, which means you cook the or you prepare the fish with its brother. What does it mean you prepare with its brother? The brother of the fish is the salt. Because both come from the water, and in the water, that's where they get the salt as well. So the brother of the fish is the salt. So it's like the way you prepare the fish is with its brother, meaning you prepare with salt. Asuke be'abu. And you, asuke, as she says, after you salt it, notnan b'mayim sonen, you put it in its father. Who's the father of the fish? The water. Cold water, because that's where the fish grows. Mikhle bibre. And you eat it with its son. Who's the son of the fish? The brine that comes out of the fish. So you dip it in the brine and you eat it. That comes out of the fish. That's the son of the fish. Ishte ale abu. And you drink with it its father. Which means it's healthy to drink the water with the fish. Now the Mefarshim explained it means dafka, the water that fish swam in. That's the dafka, the water that is healthy. We could look at Tosafot for a second, the only Tosafot on the page. Kavra samuk lemisrehe ma'ale. Ubizman azeh, but Tosafot says nowadays, tofsim sakana lemechal samuk lesidahon. Today it's been proven that it's dangerous to eat fish if it's not fresh, especially if they come before they become spoiled. Vegam mashteh ale abu. And that's what it says. Also, you drink water with it. He says, well, so that's not so. Vishima nishtanu. Maybe this changed. Kemo arifot shebishas. Like many of the remedies of the shas. She'enam tovot bismanazir. Right? They don't work in our times. Or shema narot de babel ma'alu lo tfe. Or maybe dafka, the waters of Babel, were special. And that's why this, this was different. Ve'esh mefarshim, de chavra lo bichlal dagim ma'idi. which means could be when it says over here chavra, it doesn't mean any type of fish. Could be there was a specific type of fish called the chavra, v'shem dag sheshmo chavra, u'mishchuneh b'dvarim ha'elu, v'sha'ad dagim, which is this type of fish is different than all other types of fish. And therefore, Tosfot says, do not try this with, our fish, bizman hazeh. The Gemara ends, three lines from the bottom, ve'amar rav, amali adda sayda. Adat Sayda taught Chavra, which is the fish, Tahle would be, we'd call that Shahlayim, we'd call that Kress.
Yeah.
Yes, Kress, and Halba would be milk. So all these items, Lit'on Gufa. After you eat them, you should take a walk. Velo Lit'on Puria. Don't go right away to bed. Don't go to sleep right away after you eat these items. As she says, "Let'on gufa kilomar le'achar achilato me'alech harbe." Take a long walk. Kodem sheishan before you go to sleep. V'amar Rav, amadi adas sayda chavra tachle b'halba, the fish, the cress and milk, maya velo shechna. You should drink with it, or after it, you should drink water and not beer. Shechna velo hamra. But if a choice between beer and wine, you should drink beer and not wine. As she says, "Mutav l'shtot acharin ma'im velo shekar hadran alach mashkin bet ha'shelachin." And now we move to the second perek, and we start with the Mishnah. Now, just to understand the process of this first case of the Mishnah, we must know a little in how they used to make olives. The olives, before they press them, can't press them right away, they're hard. So they put them in a type of vessel called a ma'atan. And they leave them there, and they soak them in the oil, and they soak them there for a while till they become soft. Okay, and after a while, you come and you have to be hofich. Hofich is mean you have to turn them over. There's a special type of stick they would use to turn them over. Now once you start turning them over, already they're ready for pressing. And if you don't press them immediately, you're going to lose them. So therefore, the subject, the beginning of our Mishnah is like this. You have a case, Mishafach etzetav. Which means they're ready, he had the olives in the vessel, in the barrel, in the vat. And he already turned them. Which means, so they're ready now for pressing. Ve'ir'o avil. And Ber-Minan, the guy now became a mourner. She's one of his close relatives passed away, and we know that Bar Minan, during the time of Avelut, you can't do Melacha. So therefore the question is, what is he going to do? He's going to lose his olives. Right? So that she says, Misha Vaget Zetav, Shizminam, they were prepared, the Tenam Al Gabe Abad. They were prepared to place on the press, Leotzi Mehem Shemin, Ve'ir'o Avel. Bishari Botashana, which is that she's learning the Avil case, it's got nothing to do with Chol HaMoed, it's got nothing to do with the holiday, it's not a case in the middle of the year. Shilosa Mukhla Regel, Ve'enu Yachol Itnam Agabe Abad, now you cannot put them on the press. Fish Avil Asur Basiat Melacha, because the mourner is forbidden to do work. Why is the mourner forbidden to do work? Because we don't want him to take his mind off the Avilut. Now what would they do? Normally they would put it on the press and they would flatten the olives and the first press, the olive oil would come out. That cannot be done here. Or onis, or another type of situation, as she says, extenuating circumstances, fourth one, as she, hainu milta hariti, it's a different case, kilomar, mishafak et zetav lefnei haregel. Let's say he turned his olives over before the holiday. Now we get to the holiday case. Ve'er o onis, and some circumstances happen, ve'lo haye yechol etzelam agabe betabad uba haregel. Now for some reason you couldn't get him on the press in time, now the holiday came. Now we know on the holiday, you can't do melacha. So we'll see. Oh, shitru pu'alim. Or let's say he hired workers to come before the holiday to put the olives in the press, and they never showed up. Now the holiday is there, and you have your olives sitting in the barrel, and you need to do something with them. So the Mishnah says, in these cases, to'en kora rishona. You're allowed to put them on the press the first time. It seems they would press them several times to get all the olive out, all the oil out. So it's saying over here, for our purposes, you could do korah rishona. Which means you could put the korah, like the wood beam, that they would put on top of the olives to press them, you could do the Qur'an Rishona U'maniha L'Harom Mored. And you could leave it that way to the end of the holiday, Devarei Rabbi Yehuda. Which means normally you would press it several times. There's a finis over here, it's Davar Avid, but the Davar Avid is only on the first press. Once already you do the first press, the olives can remain like that, and then at the end of the holiday you'll be able to finish it. So that she says, Tor'en Qur'an Rishona Kilomar, Notnan Al Gabeh Betabad Baregel. You put it, let's say, on the press, baregel, on the holiday, v'sochet alehen akora pamahat, and you could press it with the beams one time. Dilo avidachi ikapisdayetera. If you're not going to do that, sefset gadol. So that we lie. Umaniha bo, and you leave it there. Shelo yischot yoter ad laharam moed, and you leave it like that. These are the words of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yose Omer zolef vegomer vegaf kedarko. He learns over here, you are zolef. That she says, "Kulman notno al gabeh betabad." You pour all the olives on the press. That's zolef v'sochet akol, and you can squeeze out all of it. Kol midi deshafuch kari ziduf. And then, according to the Gersav de Mishnah, which is not the Gersav Rashi, the gafkin darko. You can even seal the barrel now where you're putting the olive oil. You can seal it in the normal fashion. It seems our Mishnah is obviously consistent with the shitot. Where the Biyuda says by Devara Aved, you need always a Shinui, so we understand that the Shinui is. He only allows you to do it one press. He doesn't let you do it more. Whereas according to the Biyose, he says by Devara Aved, you don't need a Shinui. Therefore, he's allowing you to do it in the normal fashion, and you have nothing to worry about. So therefore, that's the Mahalukti, the Biyuda, and the Biyose. And the Biyuda is only need a Shinui. What's the Shinui? One press. According to the Biyose, you don't need a Shinui. Devara Aved, do it kedarko. Therefore, do it even two times. That's one way of explaining.
Even in the case of the Avil?
Oh, we'll get to the case of the Avil. The Mishnah, interestingly enough, did not give us a ruling on the case of the Avil. That's the Gemara's question. Very good. Now, Tosafot over here says, and he has obviously in his Girsah, Rabbi Yosef is Zolef v'gomer v'gaf kedarko. Perush bekonteras, Lishna harina. So in Rashi, we don't have this Rashi. As was mentioned, the Rashi on Masechet Moed Katan, many times the Tosafot quotes him, we don't see it in the Rashi. So there's a whole debate saying that could be the Rashi that we have on the margin is not Rashi. There was an old manuscript that they found now, and they want to say that really is the Shitav Rashi on Masechet Moed Katan. And anyway, in that manuscript, it says, Vegaf mishum di'ika pesedah. So he wants to say the reason why you seal it, because you ask yourself a question, what do you got to seal it for? What's the hefsed that he's letting you seal it? Because I guess you're transporting the oil. If you're going to transport it without a seal on it, it's going to fall out. So then Tosfot says, he says, could be the reason is because you don't want rodents to fall into the oil. But then he says, if that's the case, if that's all you needed, it's enough just to put a cover on. You don't have to seal it. So then he says, v'shemin hadash, which means maybe what it is it's freshly pressed olive oil, and if you don't seal it, it spoils. So that's why you are able to gafke darko. Dafkan, freshly squeezed olive oil that needs to be insulated correctly. That's why the Mishnah says even gaf kedarko. And now we begin the Gemara. Patach be'abel v'siyem be'moed. You open up in a case of avilut. You start off telling me that the guy now is ready to put his things on the press. He became avil. But you don't tell me what to do. You tell me what to do on Chol HaMoed. If it happens on Chol HaMoed, I know you can do the first press. But what about the case of avilut? So Amar Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi Zot Omeret Devarim Mutarim BeMoed Asurim BeMeEblo. Which we hear in Echiram Yitzasur. Which is, even though we're lenient on Chol HaMoed when it comes to Davar HaAved, it's going to be forbidden on Avelut. Rashi says, "Patach be'Aved v'siyem be'Moed dektani mishafag et zeta v'ro Aved v'lo pireshim yachol et'on korah be'Avelut." You didn't tell me if you can press it during the Avelut. If no, or not. Ela mili de'Moed kaparish. You just told me what you do on Chol HaMoed. Dechirah lo kodem ha'Moed ones. If there was a problem before the holiday, to'en korah nishra be'Moed. So the Gemara says, Rashi, asur bime oblo. Kelomah le'achi lo parish. That's why I didn't explain it in the Mishnah. Because why? De'asur lo let'on. Because really it's asur afilu korah nishona bime oblo. Even korah nishona. So it comes out, avelut is more strict even than Chol HaMoed. Rabbi Asher Amar lo mebaya kama. Rabbi Asher says no. The Mishnah is using a lo mebaya style, which is what lo mebaya bibe iblod b'drabananu v'shari. I don't have to tell you during avilut that it's permissible. Avilut the isur melacha is only b'drabanan, so certainly it's permissible. Ela afilu b'moed the isur melacha b'deoraita. Even halam moed, where it's biblical as a Torah source, the b'kope. Even then, the rabbis will be lenient in the case of a loss. So we have a fantastic machloket over here. According to Rav Asher, he's telling you, no, adraba, for sure, ba'avilut is permissible to put the first press. Because if Chola Moed, which already has a source from the Torah, certainly Chola Moed. Now, when it says over here, de'oraita, this is subject to a great machloket. We look at Rashi. Rashi says, Ela afilu, holo shel moed de isura be melacha be de oraita. So clearly, this is a very important Rashi to remember. Shitat Rashi is that melacha is asura on chol moed min haTorah. Dechtiv et hag masot teshmor shvat yamin limed al kol hag shu asur. Now that's the opinion of many Rishonim as well. It should be noted it's not the opinion of the Tosafot in Masechet Chagiga. He holds that isur melacha on Chol Moed is only midrabanan, and that what it says over deoraita means it has a asmachta from the Torah. Meaning there's a remez from the Torah, and this is a great machlok. But again, to remember, it's a machlok that Rashi Tosafot is melacha asura min haTorah, but everybody agrees that Davar Aved is mutar. So if we're going to be lenient on Davar Aved by Chol Moed, Rav Asher says, certainly we're going to be lenient by Avilutanya Kivatei de Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi. We have a braita to support Rav Shisha Bered Rav Idi to say that what? That really the Avel is forbidden to do work on Chol Moed. I'm sorry, the Avel is forbidden to work when he's Avel, even if it entails a financial loss. Elu devarim ha'osim le'avel bime avlo. The following items others can do for the Avel during his time of mourning, but he himself cannot do. Zetav afuchin, if already his olives reached the stage where they were turned, and therefore you need to press them, to'anin lo. They can press it. So stop right there. There's your proof. You see clear bright that it's only others can press him, but he cannot press himself. The kadol aguf, let's say his barrel is at the stage that it needs to be sealed, that others can seal it for him. Ufishtano la'alot ben ha-mishra, they used to soak the flax in order to make it easy to take away the wood that was in between the fibers. So if his flax needs to be taken out of the soaking, it'd be permissible by others. Vesimro and his wool, la'alot ben ha-yore, to take it out of the dye. Seems they used to put it in the dye in order for it to get the color. So now if it's time to take it out, others can take it out for him. Umar bitzin tzadeu, and they could water his field, mishetagia onat hamayim shelo, when his time of his watering comes. What does this mean, when the time of the watering comes? So in the olden days, they used to have a custom like this, as she says. They used to have like a rotation of people that owned fields. Every week, let's say, it was somebody else's responsibility to water the fields. So therefore, now, let's say, it's the Avel's responsibility. It's his turn. So the halacha says he could water the Avel's field, And everybody else's. Why? So the Rishonim, the Korban Etel explains like this. Because if you're not going to let him do the Avel's field, he's not going to do anybody's field. So therefore, everybody else is going to lose. So therefore, you let him do the Avel's field to water it, as well as everybody else. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda goes even further. He says, Av zor'in lo sadeh nir. Which is a field that was plowed already, you're allowed to sow it. You're allowed, others are allowed to sow the field for him. And furthermore, a field that already is prepared for the planting of pishtan, you're allowed to plant the pishtan, the flax, on Chol Moed. That she says, it seems the pishtan season exactly is a small window. And therefore, if it's the pishtan season, you can even have others plant the pishtan. So the rabbis tell the Yehuda, so what do you mean? If you're not going to, we're not going to let others sow for him and seed the field. If he won't get to early season, he'll sow in the later season. Which means, that's just a matter of time. Which means you can always sow your field. You want to be mekel? No. Who told you, who told him we're going to be lenient for him in the early season? Let him do it b'afel. Let him do it after he's avel in the later season. And furthermore, who told him that he has to plant Pishtan? Let him plant something else. And therefore, we do not allow these two items. So, Midas Mom Mahmir. The Ban Shmom Gamliel Omer, he has a different cheetah. He's a Zetava Fuchin. Let's say again, his olives are in the barrel and they're already turned. They need to be put on the press. Ve'en Sham Uman Elahu. And he's the only one that knows how to press them. His barrel to be sealed. He's the only one knows how to do it. Pishtano la'alot min ha'mishra. Or his flax to be taken out of the soaking. V'simro la'alot min ha'yoreh. And his wool to be taken out of the dye. V'en sham uman ilahu. Hare ze ya'aseh b'sinhar. Rabbi Shimon goes lenient. He says the Avil himself can do it, but so long as he does it b'sinhar, in a private way. Yeter al kena mar Rabban Shimon Gamliel. More so, Rabban Shimon Gamliel said, "Imaya uman darabim." Let's say this person was a professional worker and he served the public needs. For example, v'sapar, he was a barber, u'balan, he worked in the bathhouse, l'rabim, v'giya et haregel. And now it's the holiday, and everybody needs barbers, they need the bathhouse attendants, v'en sham uman elahu, hare ze ya'aseh. He could do it. Now the Mefarshim explained, what's the yeter alkin? What's more so? Which means, the Hadush is like this. Not only is Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel being lenient for the Avil to do work for himself, for example, to take his wool out of the dye, or to take his pishtan out of the soaking, but even to do work for others, in a case where he's a public servant, where they need him, so the Hadush is the Avel is allowed to do it if he's the only one. And then Mishbraita continues, Ha'arisin v'achirin v'kablanim. These are three different type of workers. Let's explain one at a time. What is an aris? An aris is a sharecropper, which means he accepts to work the field, and he pays the owner of the field a certain percentage, meaning a third of the profits or a quarter of the profits. So that's a person called an aris. Okay? Right? I call that a tenant farmer. Okay? So is one who works the land of another paying the owner. Right? He pays the owner a fixed percentage. Correct? Like we said, he pays the owner a fixed percentage. Now what's hachirin? Hachirin is a tenant farmer. He doesn't pay the owner a fixed percentage, a percentage. He pays him a certain amount, which means, let's say, 100 kur. I'm paying you rent 100 kur a year. Doesn't matter how much the field makes. You get your 100 kur. The Hadush is, but if the field doesn't make 100 kur, he's off the hook. He doesn't have to pay. So the field has to produce, right? It has to produce at least a minimum amount. Otherwise, the guy doesn't get paid. That kablanim. Kablanim is telling the guy that's working in a field, and he gets paid a salary. Gets paid. He pays money, right? Pays money. Okay, so that's the difference. Okay, that's the Rashi now. Third line in Rashi. Harisin. Mekablei asadot l'shanayim l'shalosh u'rabiyah. Which means either 50%, 30%, 25%, that's he's working on the percentage that he pays. And the rest he keeps. Ha'akirin, shekibul shmirah l'obdan l'skum kach v'kach kurin. He gets a set price. Ani noten necha amimera, which means he pays a set price from the field. Ha'kablanim, shekibul shmirah l'obdan ploni b'skum kach v'kach, ben yeh harbe o me'at. Okay, so all these cases over there, hare elu ya'asu achayni b'shvilan. The Hadush is that others are able, he's avail now, he can't be work the field. So others are able to work in his stead. Why? Because there's going to be a financial loss. Let's go each case at a time. By the aris, he gets the person who owns the field gets a certain percentage. If he doesn't work, he loses his percentage. It's much less percentage. So obviously that's avid. Even in the case of Hachiran, the tenant farmer, since bottom line, we said if the field doesn't produce the minimum, he doesn't get paid. So it's potentially can get lost. So therefore, and the salary itself, Stam, he's working, because he's not going to have the money to pay. Where's the guy going to get the money from? He's getting the money from the time of the work. So all these cases are considered about Aved, so others are able to, the mourner himself cannot work, but others are allowed. Hachamarim, that's the people that rent donkeys out, and gamalin, they rent their camels out, vasapanim, they rent their boats out, hare elu lo yasu, which means they cannot do any new rentals on the during the avedut, right? Because you cannot make a new business. That she says, "Lo yaskinu lechetahila." You cannot rent lechetahila lefisha menachah shlehem. It's their work, and you cannot work on during the avedut. Now, v'imayu muhkarim u'muskarim etzel achayim. But let's say their donkeys or their camels were rented out already. Let's say you had a contract with somebody. You rented it out for a month or two. So now already you're not allowed to break the contract in the middle over here. It's going to be a financial loss on his side as well, because if he breaks the contract, he doesn't get paid. He's not going to get paid. So therefore, hare elu yasu, they can continue the job. Schir yom, however, if let's say he hired himself out, and for one day, he's a daily worker, even if he's in a different city where they might not know he's avel, lo yase. Why? Because in that case over there, there's not such a financial loss. Because the halakha says a day worker is allowed to quit in the middle of the day, and you have to pay him for the time that he worked. So all he's not going to lose his money. He's going to get paid for that effort. All he misses is what? Whatever he didn't do. So therefore, it is forbidden. Hayta melechet acherim biyado. Now let's say he's a craftsman, this avil. And now he has the merchandise of somebody else by him. He's fixing something, for example. So hayta melechet acherim biyado afal pi shebekibolet. Even though he's a kablan. Kablan means he's getting paid to do the job. Lo yaseh. He cannot do it. He cannot do it because he's avil. He cannot continue the job. So the Gemara says, "Afal pisha bekibolet," which is, you tell me, even though he's getting paid for the job, velo mebayash in a kibolet, and goes without saying, not kibolet. On the contrary, adraba, kibolet kedide dame. Kibolet is worse, because when you're a kablan, you work on your own time, which means you're not getting paid by the hour, you're getting paid by the job, so it's considered as if it's yours. So certainly, kablan is asur. What does the Gemara mean, even though he's a kablan? Because he's a kablan. So Gemara says, you're right. Ela ema, ben kibolet, ben she'ena bekibolet, lo yase. Whether he's a kablan or whether he's not a kablan, he cannot do it. The hiddush is what? That for sure, if he's a kablan, he cannot do it. Because kablan means you're receiving the merchandise, finish it at your own time. We're just paying you for the results. So that's like he owns it. And therefore, it's like you're doing your own work. So certainly, you would not be allowed to do it. Even if he's not a kablan, the adush is, he cannot do that work on the time of abedut. Hayta melachto biyad acherim. Now let's say he contracted out some work for himself by others. Bebeto lo yasu. They cannot fix his items in his house when he's avil. Because the people are going to think that he hired them on the time of the avilut. However, bebayit acher yasu. But in another house, they themselves could do his work. Because that'll be a loss for them. And there's no problem of me dying over here because it's in a different house. Gemara concludes with a story. Miryon bered ravin. That was a fellow called Miryon, the son of Ravin. Umor bered rab aha, bered rabba. And mor bered rab aha, which is the son of Rabba. Havali wahu gamla detura bade adade. Which means they had a pair of oxen as partners. And they had two oxen, they were partners in it, and they would make money, you know, working the fields. Itri'a bimilta bimor bered rabaha bered rabba. So now, one of them, Mor bered Ravaha, became an avil. So now he cannot work. So what did he do? Upaske le gamle. He took his ox back, which means he can't work. So he has a piece of the profit over here. So therefore he took his ox back. Actually, it's simen bakar. Okay, so it's actually sheep or goats that were working, right? Mm. In any event, Amar Avasheh. So Rav Asher says, what do you mean? Gavra Rabba, Kibor Bered Rabaha, Avid Acher? How did the great rabbi do such a thing? He's not worried about his own loss, let's say. But Adeherim, Lohayesh? But what about, you're causing somebody else, your partner, you're causing to lose money now. Now he's losing his, he can't work with one ox. It needs two. So the Gemara says, didn't we learn just now the Braita that if his oxen or his animals were rented out already to somebody else, or they were in somebody else's hands, you can do it. So therefore, why did he break up the pair? So the Gemara, who's Sabat? Adam Hashuv Shani. Yeah. That's a regular people. But Adam Hashuv, That's already different, because it means like this. Adam Chashuv, everybody knows what's going on. And therefore, if he's going to allow his animal to work, everybody's going to say, oh, that's the animal of the rabbi, he's working when he's avail. So Adam Chashuv, he has to, it overrides the law that says it's permissible. Look at Rashi. Musabar, bottom line, actually do two lines to the Pesedad Harini, Kegon, Miryon. Miryon was his partner, losing money. Lo Hayish, de lo kamishadeli gamle, havile pesida. Now it's causing hefsid. Why? De lo havile beema lachrosh. Not going to have another animal to do the plowing. Vekemad, the shari, kedetayi mayu muhkarin, havile mechashav shadad hadre. Not worry about his own loss, but he should be concerned about the loss of his friend. Who sabar modele maha, adam hashuv shari deha, deha asur le didele meabad. Which means it's asur for both. And she's deha, deha asur le didele meabad. But it's asur. Not only for him, but he has to take it away from his friend. Now, there's a big question amongst the Yishanim over here, that does he have to compensate his partner? Which means you're right, you can take away your animal, but you're causing your partner bottom line a loss. So some of the Yishanim say yes. That it's about what's saying, he starts to compensate. Other Yishanim want to say no. That really his partner also has to stop working. Why? Because since he's the partner with an Adam Hashuv, when they made the original partnership, it's almost accepted that you know if one of these people is going to become Avel, you're going to have to close down the business because everybody knows that the person is Adam Hashuv, so we don't have to compensate him. Adam, the other one is not even allowed to work. So that was the logic of Adam Hashuv is allowed not only to, of course, just take his own losses, but he's even allowed to break up the partnership and incur losses on somebody else.